Gray Davis was re-elected by a 5-point margin just last fall. But since then, unemployment's gone up. California's budget shortfall has grown to $38 billion, and his approval rating has sunk as low as 21%. Those who have watched Davis for a long time say he doesn't have the gifts of a natural politician, but his focus and drive have made him part of public life in California for nearly 3 decades. NPR's Ina Jaffe has this profile.
The standard joke everyone makes about Governor Joseph Graham Davis is that the nickname he got as a baby, Gray, perfectly describes the man he became. It's hard to picture the famously bland, button-down Davis in his first state government job, chief of staff to former Governor Jerry Brown, the sideburn-wearing rock star dating antithesis of Davis.
Davis was acknowledged by Sacramento insiders during the Brown administration as being de facto governor.
Political analyst Sherry Bevich Jeffy.
Clearly, Gray Davis ran the day-to-day operations of the governor's office while Governor Brown was off contemplating whether or not to send satellites from the state of California into space.
Davis has said it took him more than 2 decades in politics to travel the 15 feet or so from his first office to his current one. During those years, he served as a state assemblyman, a state controller, and as lieutenant governor. But Jeffy says Davis's reputation hasn't really changed much from his early days in the state legislature.
An aggressive fundraiser, a politician whose eyes were on the next step on the ladder, a politician who was sort of a loner, sort of stiff. You know, he didn't go out with guys. He didn't do some of the things that legislators could do to get to know one another.
As governor, Davis still has strained relationships with lawmakers, including with his fellow Democrats. Early in his first term, Davis said that the legislature's job was, quote, to implement my vision. That didn't go over well, especially since Davis's vision, as he described it at his first inauguration, was quite different than that of the legislature's generally quite liberal Democrats.
I will govern neither from the right nor the left, but from the Senate, propelled not by ideology, but by common sense that seeks better results for all of us.
State Senator Sheila Kuehl is on good terms with the governor, though she describes herself as one of the fortunate few.
The legislature as a whole has felt ignored by him.
Kuehl says when Davis gets involved with lawmakers at all, it's generally to push their bills more toward the middle of the road. That's what happened, she says, when she introduced a measure to make California the first state to offer paid family leave.
Gray was very worried about what burden that would put on business. And we talked, frankly, endlessly about it. I really disagreed. I thought business should share some of the cost. But Gray really worked out the middle ground that I think was very important, and we're still the first in the country to have this.
Davis has signed a number of trailblazing measures, including bills promoting stem cell research, expanding domestic partnership rights for gay and lesbian couples, and regulating the emissions of greenhouse gases from cars. But a signature is not the same as leadership, says Dan Schnur, press secretary for former Governor Pete Wilson, and now a Republican consultant.
It's easy to sign legislation that has overwhelming public support, regardless of the public policy area. Where people look for leadership is during difficult times. And when the state faced an energy crisis 2 and 3 years ago, Gray Davis was nowhere to be found. When the state's budget and economic crisis began to worsen, Davis sat on the sidelines. That's why Californians are so upset at him.
They were already upset with him last November when they voted to reelect him governor. His approval rating that fall was below 40%.
The amazing thing here is not that we won by only 5 points. The amazing thing is that we won it all.
Gary South was Davis's campaign manager. He says Davis has been written off as political roadkill 4 or 5 times in his career.
But the fact of the matter is, far from Gray Davis being politically dead, the political roadways of this state are fairly well littered with the bodies of people who thought they were going to take him on and take him out, and it didn't quite work out that way.
Two of those defeated by Davis were his primary opponents during his first run for governor. Congresswoman Jane Harman and businessman Al Checkey were both independently wealthy and spent between them close to $60 million. Davis, with less money and trailing badly in the polls, eventually won the day. but Gary South says Davis swore he'd never again let himself be vulnerable to an independently wealthy challenger. So, during his first term as governor, Davis raised and spent nearly $70 million in campaign cash.
We adopted the Girl Scout motto, be prepared, and we are lucky that we did, because we needed every dollar that we raised to make this campaign work.
That financial cushion essentially allowed Davis to eliminate his strongest potential opponent when he ran for re-election last year. That was former L.A. Mayor Richard Reardon, a moderate Republican, a supporter of gun control and abortion rights, and the choice of the White House. But the Davis campaign spent $10 million running ads during the Republican primary campaign, undermining Reardon's credibility.
Listen to Richard Reardon in his own words.
The ad that may have done Reardon in used tape of an old interview that the supposedly pro-choice Republican did with a local cable station.
I surprised myself at my emotions on the abortion issue. Because I feel I think it's murder.
For years, Reardon helped finance the anti-abortion movement and said abortion was murder. Now he says he's pro-choice. Reardon, is this a record we can trust?
Instead of the well-known Reardon, Davis faced Bill Simon, a businessman and political novice. But the voracious fundraising that allowed Davis to run against a weak opponent became the main issue of his Republican rival, with Simon calling him the coin-operated governor at every campaign appearance.
The very thing I'm going to do first when I become governor is to end the corrupt atmosphere that says if you want to do business with the state, if you want to meet with the governor, then you better attend one of his fundraisers.
In return, Davis portrayed Simon as an unethical businessman. The negative campaign, combined with Davis's already low standing with the voters, led to a record low turnout in the general election. And yet, for all his difficulties, Davis probably would not be in his current predicament if Congressman Daryl Issa, a Republican from San Diego County, had not backed the recall with more than $1.5 million of his personal fortune. Issa has also said he wants to be Davis's replacement if the voters say yes to the recall. Political analyst Sherry Bebich Jeffy says that Davis's best bet now is to do what he's done so effectively in past campaigns, go negative.
Inculcate fear of the unknown, what may result from the recall ballot.
Because California voters, when they're in doubt, usually vote no. Ina Jaffe, NPR News, Los Angeles.